This episode of Arc Junkies is sponsored by WeldDevils.com. For welder-inspired merch like t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs, WeldDevils.com is your one-stop shop. WeldDevils.com, we are devils. From Podcast Detroit Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan, this is Arc Junkies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 18 of Arc Junkies. This is the Arc Junkies Star Wars Christmas special, where I am joined by the greatest Star Wars fans of the welding community and a fellow podcaster, as we are going to be reviewing Star Wars The Last Jedi. I would like to welcome Doug's Welding Caps entrepreneur, Lulu.
Hello.
Also, Fort Mill Forge, Scott Griffin.
Hey, guys.
Works by Hearst's own Jason Hearst.
Hello, everybody.
And the host of An Elegant Weapon, Mr. Jason Clark.
What's up? Hold on a sec. Why do I get to be the only guy who's not a tough guy welding sounding guy?
What's well, because you're a tree ninja, and that's just, I mean, you're in a different level altogether than the welding guys.
All right, well, I needed you to mention that I'm not just some dude who just sits behind his computer all day.
Well, yeah, I introduced you as fellow podcaster. So, I mean, come on. give me some credit here. All right. So we're going to hold this is just an open discussion of we're just going to basically review the movie of things that we really liked, things that we didn't like, because this was a movie that is so polarized in the fandom. I mean, people either love it or they hate it. There really doesn't seem to be an in-between. As far as I'm concerned, it was not a perfect movie, but I still very, very much enjoyed it. So what I want to do is I kind of want to start – let's start with you, Lulu, on things that you really liked about the movie or didn't like about the movie.
Well, I think one of the things I really liked was the way they developed Rey, and that – they addressed her parents, even though it was a letdown a little bit. Mm-hmm. I still really liked that they actually addressed it. I liked the connection and the character development between her and Kylo Ren. That was, to me, the highlight of it, because like when the Force connected them, it gave me goosebumps, just goosebumps, because we hadn't seen that before to that magnitude, you know? And so that was a huge thing for me. I said goosebumps. So, and I did feel the same way the first and second time I saw it. I really liked it. And yes, I do see the flaws, but they're not enough to where I would be, you know, that's it. Screw Star Wars. I'm out.
Right.
So, you know, but there is a lot. There's a whole lot with this, you know, the character developments between the new characters when they introduced and then the old ones, how, you know, they're kind of, you know, they're moving into the next generation of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that they respected the old actors. But they brought in the good ones, and they brought in a lot of character with them. Not just, you know, hey, there's the guy in the red suit. You're dead.
You know? Right. So, no, there's a lot more there. Scott, what about you?
Well, I really like when it comes to Star Wars. I know, especially with any of the movies, but a lot of times they will not ever live up to our expectations. But the, you know, because, and it probably didn't live up to mine, even though I thought it was a great movie. But the one thing that I sort of really kept wanting to, and maybe it was confirmed, but I never got the confirmation, is I truly believe, and this might be crazy, but I kept getting the feeling that Kylo and Rey are siblings. Now, is that crazy? I don't know. Or maybe, I mean, that was always my gut feeling, even from the prior movies.
I don't think they're siblings. I don't think they're siblings, because they mentioned that Rey's parents were just, they were nobodies. And that was kind of like a key element of the movie, at least a message that they were trying to portray, is that anybody can be the hero. You don't have to come from a Solo bloodline or a Skywalker bloodline or an Obi-Wan Kenobi bloodline. Yeah. It could be anybody.
Yeah. And, But the some of the stuff that I liked the best was just the fight scenes and some of the like the, just the beefed up like the AT-ATs. I'm a big AT-AT guy, but the AT-ATs were like on major steroids.
Yes. I mean,
they were just, you know, thick and tough. And then just the firepower. My favorite part of the movie was when, you know, Kylo was in the you know, in the cockpit of the AT-AT, and they were just opened up fire, you know, on Luke. And at that point, it was obvious that he was already a spiritual being, kind of like, you know, Ben Kenobi. He was really no longer in human form.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's how I definitely took it at that point. And so honestly, I just thought it was just a evenly balanced movie. I never had, as much as I wanted to, I guess I never had any moments that I was just like, man, this is the best thing ever. You know, like in back in The Force Awakens, you know, I just was gut-wrenching whenever, you know, Kylo killed Han Solo, that whole Chewbacca cry. You know, that was like gut-wrenching. I never really had those kind of feelings, but I just thought it was a lot of eye candy for people that are spaceship or, you know, equipment, mm-hmm. uniforms, that type of stuff. And especially the Imperial Guards kind of had that sort of a Japanese samurai type lookish to them.
Yes.
You know, it was, they weren't near as slender as they were in the prior movies.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. I think it was absolutely visually stimulating, you know, and a visual spectacular, as Star Wars is, but this one seemed to really pump it up that much more. Even when the scene comes when there's zero sound and just the spaceship explodes, like that was an absolutely powerful moment. That and it no sound at all, and I don't think we've ever seen anything like that in any other Star Wars movies.
Yeah, and I've only seen this movie once. I usually go two or three times in two or three days when one's released, but my work schedule was so crazy. But I kind of the one thing that I was expecting. But who knows where the movie was in filming whenever Carrie Fisher passed away. But I thought she was going to be killed, you know, but she sort of, I guess she used a force to made herself back into the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought maybe that would have been a good way. I mean, just from thinking of it, a good way to remove her from, you know, because, you know, that other lady kind of came in and was sort of kind of took over whenever Leia was hurt. And
yeah.
was kind of becoming the command or whatever. And I you know, we talked about this some at work. I mean, that would have been a good time because Leia needs to be done in the, you know, just unfortunately because of her untimely passing.
Right. No matter how bad you are at your job, there's someone somewhere who said, you know, we could wrap this whole Carrie Fisher thing up with a bow right here or right here. But no, let's leave that Superman in space scene in and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I, honestly,
a little more Mary Poppins.
All right, Jason Hurst, go ahead, sir. The mic is yours.
Well, I agree with everything that everyone has said prior to me. It's a well-done movie, beautiful. The acting is solid. A standalone movie, if you walked in a vacuum and watched this movie or put it in a vacuum by itself, great movie. But when you start putting it, I mean, as a director, you're given the keys to the Lamborghini. This is the Star Wars saga. It's like, you know, one of the top rated sci-fi sagas in our time.
Mm-hmm.
And the writing on this movie left, in my opinion, some really serious things to be desired. The fact that Luke never leaves the island, and if this was his swan song, his last show. Give me something. I mean, don't get me wrong. When he stood against the AT-ATs at the end of the movie, it was a very powerful scene. I got goosebumps, you know, when I saw it. But to know that it was all just a projection kind of makes it cheap.
I can agree with that.
And then he gives Leia, you know, he gives Leia that trinket, that gold trinket that almost looked like dice you'd hang off of a rearview mirror. I don't know what they were.
Yeah, those are the dice that
you'd hang off a rearview mirror.
Yeah, those were the dice that was played. Those were the dice that won the Millennium Falcon, that Han Solo won the Millennium Falcon against Lando Calrissian. Those are the dice that you use in the game.
Well, like it's like there's just so many holes in this movie. Like, in my opinion, there's enough content in this movie to make two or possibly three totally good movies, you know, and there is, it's almost like they were trying to do so much in one movie. It's just, it was, oh, there was just so many things to complain about. When I left the movie, when I saw it, I loved it. As far as it was, it made me feel good. But as I thought about it, there was just so many things that I had issue with. Just for one instance, you know, they, when the biggest gripe was when Ray falls into the hole on the island, the dark pit that supposedly represents the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And she walks up to the wall and puts her hand on it, and you're waiting for something meaningful to come out of it. And then she's teleported in that realm where there's multiple copies of her, and she snaps and waves her hand and then walks toward the wall again and places her hand on it and asks to see her family, her parents. And it's a reflection of herself. Maybe I'm just an idiot, but I didn't understand what they were trying to tell me. Is it that she was born of the Force and has no family at all? What were they trying to say there?
You know? Honestly, I think it's the point that, I mean, even though, let's be realistic, I think Rey was lying to her. I think it's the point that her parents don't matter.
Yeah, that's what I kind of picked up. Yeah, the parents didn't matter in this. And I think that was something that they were really spreading on thick in this movie, is that your parents don't matter. Like, that was the one thing I really did like about this movie, is that it just, for lack of a better expression, shit all over everybody's speculation and expectations for this movie, because the main things everybody really wanted to see was, who is Snoke? What is Snoke all about? Who are Rey's parents going to be? For 2 years, those have been the main two questions. And what do you get? Snoke gets annihilated, and Rey's parents don't matter.
Well, you know, Kylo Ren is the one who told her that her parents don't, or her parents were nobodies. And mm-hmm. So can you believe Kylo Ren? He could be deceiving her. And then if they had to kill off Snoke, the way they did it was so, I mean, he turned on a lightsaber, just turned it on and cut him in half. I mean, in my opinion, he was a really cool character. And was there a way you could have maybe utilized him a little more?
Well, yeah, he became Darth Maul 2.0.
It was such a simple way to kill him. Just slip on a lightsaber with the Force and boom, he's gone. And it's like, oh, it seemed really like a, well, we're just going to get rid of him. Just right. Like that. Just, it's over.
Right.
Very convenient.
All good points, man. All good points. Jason Clark, what did you like and dislike about the movie? And then after you're done with what you have to say, everybody just open mic and chime in whenever.
Pretty much the same stuff. I thought there was some brilliant, genius stuff in there, and I thought there was some ridiculous nonsense. It was a good movie as far as movies go. I didn't enjoy the story where it went as far as a Star Wars story goes. It's kind of the same general, it was a fun movie. I was entertained, but as a deep Star Wars fanboy, like, who's completely biased by 20 years of the EU, I'm left confused and befuddled, because this movie wrapped everything up without giving any of the answers that it had set up everybody for in the last one. You could end it here as a 2-movie arc almost. So I am so up in the air as to what the hell they're going to do with the third one. I mean, look at the first trilogy, A New Hope. You hear about the Emperor. Empire, you see the Emperor through the hologram. Return of the Jedi, you finally meet the Emperor, and he's involved in this huge operatic climax, right? There's a purpose to his being.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's gone, we all believe there was some sort of purpose to all of this, and there's not. Like, I get the whole they want to move on to a new generation. They want to kill the past, forget the past, even if you have to kill it, blah, blah, blah. So fine, move on, give us the new characters. But they've let go of the heart of Star Wars. I mean, the fact that Luke... The thing that bothers me most about the movie is that Luke lit that lightsaber in Kylo's room, like when Ben was young. I mean, the Luke that we were left with was one who went through 3 movies of hell to never lose his faith in the fact that his father still had good in him. And even with the entire Empire and the galaxy falling around him and crumbling, he still had faith that his father had good in him. It never wavered. He was like an undying champion, you know, good guy, the ultimate light versus dark. And he was turned into a cowardice, quivering little fearful hermit in this movie. And as much as I loved Hamill's performance, and he made it feel like Luke, absolutely, like it felt like Luke, it didn't feel like the choices Luke should have made.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what bothers me most about this movie, is that it just robs Star Wars of its heart. Like, even if you hate the prequels, they still have that heart. And the fact that this movie was just like, all right, screw everything ever to move on, I don't think that was necessary. I think a better bridge could have been built.
Well, I agree. I agree with you as far as it definitely didn't seem like the Luke that we're used to, because, and even Hamill, you know, said it himself that he really didn't like the way that Rian Johnson, I believe that's the director, he didn't really like the way that this was written for Luke. He said he almost kind of had to play it like this was Luke's brother, Jake Skywalker, or something, because it just it wasn't something that
he was creepy Luke with on TV.
Creepy Luke. He just it seemed like, you know, and you're right, and maybe they were trying to, you know, imply that, you know, in the original trilogy that this was like, you know, initiation naivety. Like, he was just so ready to be a Jedi that nothing else mattered. This is the way it's got to go. And then now maybe this is older, jaded Luke, to where he's like, forget all this. You know, that this isn't right. The, you know, to and how he said that to Rey, that the to think that the Force dies with the Jedi Order is complete vanity. It doesn't. This is a living force that must go on, and it's not meant for the Jedi anymore. So I see what you're saying, but I'm also open to the fact that it is a new way and a new direction that they're going. I don't think they completely close it off or betray the original trilogy at all. Just especially how at the end when you see that young boy, you know, he kind of force pulls the broom, you know, at the ending scene, and it's like they're
with the real heavy elongated shadow behind him, a la the episode one posters, in case you missed that.
I missed that.
Yeah.
I completely missed
big
that.
Time.
Yeah. Nice. So I mean I think they maybe closed some possibilities, but I think they opened a lot more, and I'm sure that's due to the fact that they spent $4 billion on this franchise, and they really need to make their money back, and they have a theme park that they have to fund, and so on and so forth.
Well, look. Okay, now JJ is in this situation where he's got to close out a trilogy, start a whole new series of movies, answer a whole bunch of questions, and then come up with new questions all in one movie. I do not. And plus, on top of all of the stuff that he's got to make this movie work as, now he's got to deal with the fact that Leia's alive but not around, when they had like six perfect chances to get rid of her in this movie. Now JJ's saddled with this ridiculous situation of starting new movies, yet ending old movies, yet he's got to make this bridge. And I just...
That's a hot mess.
I'm so clueless. I should have at least an inkling of an idea of what the third movie in a trilogy is going to be about. But I have as little idea as what's going to happen as I did going in to see The Force Awakens. I am so baffled by what this next movie could possibly be. What are the stakes? The Rebel is down to a handful of Rebels who can fit on the Millennium Falcon. Your big main head bad guy is gone. Your main hero tutor is gone, so literally the next movie could be nothing. It's going to have to be Kylo versus Rey standoff. Will they turn, will they not turn, or will they die?
Force
that's
ghosts.
Pretty much all that's left, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's what else is there?
I don't feel that.
Like, what's the plot? Like, what? Like, give me a please. Someone
well,
give me a
I can,
possible idea
here's,
of what this movie will be about.
Okay, here's what I see in the way that it left it, with the fact that, yes, they tried to say, Kylo tried to say that Rey's parents were not nobody, but Vader didn't even have a father. So they really didn't say exactly who. They said, oh, they're paupers, they're in a grave. She didn't become who she is because her parents were nobodies. So I think that there's still something lying in that little area. And I think that the way that they are developing Kylo is a whole way, way, way stronger scenario than I believe a lot of people think, because his character having genuineness for his, even though he's evil, he's still, you can see that conflict in him. Yeah, he's going to be evil, great. But there's something really big going between those two. And yes, that's going to be a main focus, but the way they jump from one era back to another, because they're obviously not all in order, there's a lot still left in there. And yes, there was a lot of letdowns and everything, but there's still so much more to be developed.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, what are they going to do? Like, somebody give me a potential story plot line for the third movie.
I have no idea. I'm just as lost as you are.
Find something
like Dave said, the Force Ghost Awakens.
Like, sorry,
I'll tell you
Ray's
what I
would.
I think you're going to see Force Ghosts. I think you're going to have Luke come back.
Right. But what's the goal? What's Rey going to have to do in the next movie? Just kill Kylo or bring him back, and that's it?
No, I think the tension between them two is going to be one of the major plot points going forward. I don't think that's going to get wrapped up in a nice tidy bow. And I think I'm sorry, what's your female guest name?
Lulu.
So I think one of the things she was saying was actually kind of dead on, because at first I was horribly mortified by the whole Snoke thing, because it was basically Darth Maul 2.0. Hey, here's this phenomenal villain who's super powerful, super strong. Oh, we cut him in half. He's gone, never to be seen again. But then you think about it, and if you're going to elevate Kylo Ren to truly a Darth Vader level character, then Snoke had to go. Because, where was the baddest Vader that, you know, the most badass Vader that we saw? The end of Rogue One, where there was no Emperor in the mix. He was there, but he wasn't there. You know, that, and it was always, you know, Vader the badass was always when he was on his own doing his thing. So I think to make Kylo.
He showed his ass for sure.
Right. So I think to elevate Kylo to that same position, you have to make him head bad guy. Now, is he going to find an apprentice? Is that going to be part of the next story where, you know, I mean, I know he says, you know, you have to, you know, forget the old ways and, you know, forget the Jedi and the Sith and all that stuff. But I mean, is he going to find an apprentice and start, you know, carrying on the tradition?
This is Dave from the IT and the D show, everybody.
Potential plot is a new bad guy.
Sorry, say that again, Jay.
It's part of the potential plot that a new bad guy comes in, though, because I get, obviously, the movie's going to be about the struggle between Kylo and Rey, but, like, as in the fact that this movie was a giant chase, like, the next movie, there's going to have to be, you know, obviously it's Kylo versus Rey. That's the whole idea of all this.
But right.
What? Like, is it going to be a whole movie of Kylo chasing Rey? Is it going to be a whole movie of Rey meeting Force Ghosts, like Luke, who convince her that she's got to go confront Kylo, and then it's just a big lightsaber battle? Will they build a third or fourth or fifth Death Star? you see what I'm saying?
No, I think they've officially replaced the Death Star with the Dreadnoughts now.
Yeah, the Dreadnoughts are the right. Big boys now.
Well, no,
you see what I'm saying? Like,
no, I do. I totally get where you're going.
This one would, like the first one was the search for Luke. The second one, we found Luke. We're getting chased. We got to bring Luke back. Now the third will be what?
Well, so to me, I mean, and that's the, like, I'm kind of laughing at some of the memes that I'm seeing floating around about how, you know, oh, the fanboys, you know, were all whiny when they, you know, when episode 7 came up and it was, you know, it was, they called it derivative, and then they were giving something completely original with episode 8 and they're still whiny about it. Well, hate to break it to you, but episode 8 really wasn't all that original, because again, you had Snoke, which was, you know, Maul 2.0. You had a lot of elements from both Empire and Jedi, you know, in 8. And so to me,
amen.
Go ahead.
He said amen.
Oh, okay. And so to me, I don't think we have a comparison for what 9 can be, because, you know, 7, yeah, we all know, was a New Hope. I think 8 became a mishmash of Empire and Jedi. And so I kind of think we're in uncharted territory for what 9 could be, and that could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. We'll see.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no question left, right? Empire left us a question, like, oh, he's his father. Now we got to figure out how that's going to resolve. There's nothing hanging in the air for the next one. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure there is. Is the Empire going to – and by the way, here's the lingering question. Did they just run out of words? Because, you know, the planet's name is Crate, but it's not the same Crate as the Crate dragons that were on Tatooine that Ben made the noise of. And yeah, whatever. but no, so I mean, I do. I mean, I think it's going to be – I'm almost curious to see if they're going to do something. I'm hoping they don't turn this into Lost, because my biggest thing about Lost was,
exactly,
you know, okay, well, if you really want to follow the show, then you have to read these three articles in these four magazines, and you have to go to this website, and you got to watch this side webcomic, and na-na-na-na-na-na.
And if you miss one thing, you're
screwed.
Totally lost.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see if they're going to introduce something in Solo that comes out in May that's going to dovetail into, like, a plot point that will lead into something that should be known in 9.
Check this out, guys. I wonder, with that being said, at what point, because to me, The Force Awakens, which, you know, I always considered The Force Awakens would have been in, like, 1976 and a half.
Right.
If you kind of plugged it in. But I think after 9, however you wrap it up, I honestly, my own opinion, think it needs the trilogy or quadrilogy or whatever it is now, the triso trilogy, you know, it needs to, if there's any way to make it end and do these spinoffs, because to me these spinoffs are golden. You know, even like stuff like with Bosk. I mean, like to me, they even start running together for me, and I'm a diehard fan. But like to me, there was never. I think one of the best scenes was whenever Vader was looking for bounty hunters to hunt down Solo, mm-hmm. and all the bounty hunters. You know, Dengar, Forlorn, Bosk. They were all standing there. You know, Fett on the. You know, and they were like, "There's the scum bounty hunters. We don't need them." Man, just the expanded universe on, like, just even like on Dengar.
Oh, Tales of the Bounty Hunters was one of the best books that came out of the EU, oh, yeah. I thought.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
But like the,
okay.
Like, call it the book. But,
you know, I'm sorry, Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that at some point that it runs for so long and like for me, you know, and like I know a lot of the early, you know, the original 3 movies, to me, some of the stuff that I've read or been interpreted, a lot of it was kind of, at least on a far away analogy, was kind of like Nazi Germany. Of course, his helmet, a lot of like, you know, even
right.
if you look at the early uniforms, you know, it's all definitely Nazi Germany, you know, good and bad and all that. And I think he kind of has on a trench coat and that kind of stuff. But at some point, you know, I just think it gets so confusing, so many, like, I mean, to this, I almost saw, like, if Ray was, if she was looking for Luke, I just kind of saw Luke looking for Ben in 1977. I mean, sort of that, I don't know, it was just,
yeah,
you know, I know some stated you're kind of going back in and out of the old movie so much, it almost feels like the repeats again, just different people, different technology, but the same story with different faces. And I would love to just see the Solo movie standalone, like the Force Awakens or
Rogue One.
I'm losing my train.
Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One was just killer. I thought it was just because it explained this. I mean, and then, you know, I'm sure Solo will explain like his, you know, his some of the different stuff he did, the Kessel Run and this and that, and his, you know, how he got, you know, so screwed up and got mixed up with the, you know, the running, you know, doing, you know, whatever he got in trouble for, his dumping the cargo, all that kind of stuff. You know, I would start answering questions.
So now there's a good tie-in. I don't know if you caught this or not. In 8, one of the big plot points was hyperspace tracking and the fact that they could do it. If you go back and watch Rogue One as they're flipping through trying to find, you know, whatever the project name is that the mm-hmm. kid's nickname was, hyperspace tracking is one of the files.
Oh, really?
One of the projects that they go through.
I missed that completely.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, so they've been working on it for that long. I did want to hit on, so that you mentioned one thing about that strong silence when she went into hyperspace and blew through everybody.
Yes.
The only thing even remotely close to that would have been episode 2, the bombs that they were dropping
sonic
in the asteroids.
Booms.
The sonic, but where they had like it went off and you saw the light and then that heavy THX, that blasted through. Was close. And then I don't know that I agree with the Luke characterization, because, I mean, here's the thing. We're missing, what, 35, 40 years now mm-hmm. after Jedi. So, I mean, even if you just go with what you know based on what he said, you know, happened and what Kylo says happened, dipping into the EU, there was a lot of stuff there in that 40 years where, I mean, you know, if you've taken on the mantle of being the Jedi Master and you've started this temple and you took 12 kids, including your sister's kid, under your wing, and something went that horribly wrong where, you know, all these kids died and that kid became the new, you know, you're essentially, now you're Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. You've given birth to the new Vader. Man, I don't know that that's not enough to make you go hide on an island and cut yourself off from the Force and get away from everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Ben did.
Yeah, and it's not like, and even Hamill said,
that's,
you know, I didn't think.
That's not what Ben did at all. Ben was in forced exile. Ben was forced to go into hiding to protect Luke because Luke was his best hope and the last hope of the Jedi. Both Yoda and Obi-Wan, they went into exile. They did not run away and hide like Luke did. Just need to make that specification.
Well, there was nobody.
Well, where's the bell?
Right. Well, but there was nobody for Luke to run away. I mean, there was nobody for Luke to run away and hide from. You know, he was essentially running away and hiding from himself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, you know, Obi-Wan, he was protecting Luke. He was, you know, and he wasn't afraid to, like, you know, he wasn't sad or that disappointed with himself. He focused on continuing the Jedi rather than wanting them to end, right?
Hmm.
Jason Hurst, I know you've been chomping at the bit to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, there's just we're getting in deep into the plot and possible plot of the next movies, and there were so many problems with this movie that I really had a hard time, you know, like focusing on the plot and really enjoying it. I mean, just a real quick list, you know, and like the very first scene when they're bombing, was it the Dreadnought, the huge ship? You know, so are these bombs magnetic because there's no gravity in space, but they're somehow bombing and dropping these things, and there's no force field on the bottom of the bomber. Like, give me a little blue hue that shows there's a force field holding the air and just little stuff like that. And
yes.
You know, and then, okay, so they need to crack the shield of Snoke's ship, and it's a really big deal, and Maz says there's only like two people that can do it, and so they go to the casino planet, and they get captured, and just happens to be a dude in jail that can do it, and he does it with like a bobby pin in like 3 seconds, and it's no big deal, you know, and and it's all these things that they build up to, and it's like, it's almost like they had all these wild, really cool ideas, and they ran out of time and or money, and we're like, okay, we're just going to solve this with this real quick, and we're going to solve this with this real quick, and it was just like all these cutoffs. It's like the hyperspace tracking. That was kind of a big deal, but they didn't really explain it. And the explanation was like, it really made no sense. It was like, it was almost like just a bunch of jargon, you know?
It was far more well explained in season two or the season premiere of Battlestar Galactica when they did it 20 years ago already. The ship had to jump. Yeah, it was every 33 minutes the ship had to jump because they were tracking its hyperspace. And I was watching the movie and I was like, I've fucking seen this before. I know I have.
Well, we kind of agree that the Empire has the better equipment, right? The Empire has all the money, all the resources. They got the cool stuff. Okay, so you're going to tell me that the whole fleet of Empire ships and the most advanced ships can't just keep up with a Rebel cruiser or a Rebel? You know, it's like they're outmatched at sub-light speeds, really.
Well, I can agree with you that there's definitely a lot of inconsistencies and things that make sense. Like
just jump like a half mile forward.
Yeah. Why don't you? Couldn't you just catch them ahead of that? You're obviously way faster. Or even like how they brought up how Snoke killed with the lightsaber with a force move, but then they get into this extra long battle with all of the Imperial Knights. That, I mean, you know, there was no force power at all. Like, why did that have to go on that long?
Because CGI fight scene.
I got that Snoke thing though. When I get a chance, I really do.
Go ahead, Lulu.
The whole Snoke thing where people are like, oh, he just got killed. See, that is the biggest load of crap. Because that guy was uber powerful, right?
Yep.
He could see into Kylo's mind, and as he's describing what he thinks he sees him going to do, he's the one that's getting it.
Yeah.
That was the coolest thing that ever freaking happened. And he was like, oh, he got killed. He got cut in half. That sucks.
But it's the exact same thing that happened.
Mind screwing.
But it's the exact same thing that happened with the Emperor and Vader. As Palpatine
and they
is
all kill their masters.
As Palpatine is standing there gloating about how Vader is his little guard dog and Vader is his little that's his boy. Vader's making up his mind to pick him up and throw him down the pit. I mean,
yeah, yeah. He goes
that
from
that the ability for Kylo to hide his intent as he is, as Snoke is watching him through his mind, and that force being strong enough to connect him and Rey, yet he couldn't see what he was going to do. That was, I mean, I got goosebumps because of the fact that he was able to literally do that while he's watching his mind.
Yes, I picked that up on the second viewing big time.
And, you know.
Yeah, I picked that up on the second viewing big time, and I think that there is that testament to is somebody eating chips?
Sorry.
I think there is something to say
that. No chips.
Just ice chips. Ice, right?
I thought it was bad. I felt bad for Kylo whenever Snook made fun of him about having on that helmet, because I always, you know, he wants to be Darth Vader, you know, so bad. But then, you know, I hated when he took his helmet off, because that is one of the badasses' helmets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kylo Ren's, and then it was, you know, it was in the movie for 30 seconds and gone. So that made me cry a little bit.
I think I like that part of it, because I think at that point when he shattered that helmet, that was saying, like, he's done trying to live in the shadow of somebody else. He's going to be his own evil badass at that point. But going back to what Lulu was saying about how, Ben was able to or Kylo Ren was able to more or less manipulate Snoke as to his thought process while he was actually killing him instead of killing Rey.
Yeah.
I think that's opening up more doors to how powerful he actually is, because even on the island, when Luke says, "I've only seen this kind of raw power once before, and I didn't fear it then, but I do now," you know, that's showing that Kylo Ren is actually super, super, super powerful.
Well, and Snoke said the exact same thing about
him. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
But are we not getting right back into like a New Hope or Empire Strikes? I mean, and that's what I kind of think. I don't know how, you know, to me, the story can only go so far. I mean, do y'all agree that it just may be, I mean, I'm not saying this in a bad way, but does it need to end and then just do single movies? You know, would that ever happen? I mean, because it gets so, you know, you start seeing the same thing over again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we can all agree that there's going to be a Star Wars movie at least once a year until long after we are all dead.
Yeah. It's going to be like the Police Academy series.
Do you think they're still going to let Rian Johnson have that trilogy they announced they're going to give him after a lot of this reaction? Or they're like, whatever,
no.
We made a gajillion dollars.
No way.
Make a trilogy.
No, they'll pull it. They'll pull the rug out from under him real quick.
Well, yeah. He's not directing that, though. From what I understand, he had a different role. He wasn't going to be a director on those three. He was going to be, was it?
Executive producer?
Maybe. Exactly.
We're just going to demote you a little bit.
Sit on the couch and look good. You know, and honestly, like, so that was.
He'll be key grip when we're going.
Right. So, like, that was the interesting thing. I think I told you this, you know, after Seven and Rogue One, mm-hmm. my whole thing was that I was concerned that, and it held true, that the formula for all Star Wars movies moving forward would be 10 minutes of, I remember, and then like an hour or so of, hey, look how witty and funny our characters are. Look how funny our actors are.
Yeah.
And then like the last 10 minutes would be a, I remember. They put that big, I remember, in the middle with Yoda this time.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved that they did it with a puppet instead of CGI.
Yes.
I loved that.
And it was original trilogy Yoda, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't the 1-3.
Right. It wasn't the prequel
Yoda.
Where
he was all super serious. He was the giddy, you know, almost drunk Yoda. Where
that kind of senile old guy. Yeah. No, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, we'll give him that.
And then the one thing that, like, a lot of the people that I saw it with missed, even when I saw it with him twice, was, you know, Yoda's whole thing about, you know, those books, there's nothing in there that Rey doesn't already have.
Yeah.
You caught that she has the books on the Falcon, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so his whole, like,
just a real quick scene.
So him becoming Storm and bringing the lightning down on the tree really didn't mean much of anything other than smacking Luke around the face a little bit.
Yeah, like still young Skywalker at that point. Because what was Yoda, like 900 or something? Yeah, something
900
crazy.
Years old you reach.
All right. Let's go around the table real quick. And let's everybody, we're going to give a 1-10 and go see it or not see it as far as the rating of this movie. Jason Hurst, go ahead. 1-10, what would you give this movie, and would you recommend someone to see it?
Oh goodness, I'm on the hot seat. As a standalone movie, it's a solid 7. Go see it. It's worth seeing. As a Star Wars movie, if you like the original trilogy that came out, it's maybe a 5. I'm hard. I'm sorry.
It's all right, man. It's all right. Scott, go ahead.
I'm gonna say definitely see it. I would say it's an 8, especially based on what I call eye candy as far as the spaceship, some of the fight scenes, especially seeing the salt turn red and I forget the name of the planet, but there at the end, I thought that was just really, really badass when the AT-ATs were firing on Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And when the commander asked Kylo, you think we got him? That was priceless. Definitely an 8 and a must see.
All right. Lulu, go ahead.
I think it's definitely a must-see just because it's Star Wars. It's going to have issues, but you know what? All of them, if you want to pick them apart, are going to have issues. I would give it a good 8. I really would. I'd give it an 8. But I like that they introduced humor. I love the humor part of it because that's something you didn't expect. Yeah, it's a little cheesy, but Luke tickle him, you know, raise fingers with the thing. Ooh, it's the Force. Come on. If you didn't laugh at that, you just have no heart whatsoever. It was great.
Dave, go ahead.
Okay, old school fanboy me, I give it a 6.
Mm-hmm.
But the caveat there, and this is what I've learned, your rating of the movies is going to depend on how old you are and where you came into the trilogy. Because
mm-hmm.
my second viewing, I took my kids. They loved every single thing that I hated. they loved the Porg. They loved all the stupid one-liners.
Uh-huh.
They laughed everywhere they were supposed to laugh. They loved every single minute of it. So me, 6, 25 and down, it's probably a solid 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you got to go see it because it's Star Wars.
It's Star Wars.
It's
exactly.
Life.
You can't pause this. Jay Clark, go ahead, brother.
Okay, as a movie, I'd give it a 6, 5, 7. I mean, there's so many – entertaining as hell, and it was very well made, and visually it's one of the most stunning Star Wars movies. So that's what gives it maybe a 5, maybe a 6 as a Star Wars movie because it's visually stunning. As a Star Wars movie, it's, of course, go see it. There is some crazy, fun, cool stuff, as there always is in a Star Wars movie. You know, and I need to say I'm coming from such a biased fanboy, you know, place that, you know, I'm saying it as such. As a movie, very fun, great, entertaining, brilliant movie, better than most. But, yeah, definitely go see it.
Right on. I think I'm going to have to give it I'll give it a 10 for visual. I thought it was absolutely just a beautifully done movie. As far as plot, I'm gonna give it an 8, man. Like I seen it twice. The first time I would have gave it a 10. The second time I'm definitely giving it an 8 because I got to see a lot more stuff and
see it again if you give it a 6.
Yeah, I probably will. But I still liked it. I would definitely recommend everybody to go see it because you know it is Star Wars, and I want to thank everybody for making the time to actually all come together and join in on this episode to geek out about something that we absolutely love as a franchise, and I absolutely love the different opinions and the polarity, even with a group of people that really love the franchise and like the movie. So thank you everybody for coming on the show, and it was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Jordan.
All right.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Have a good weekend.
Anytime. And as always, work safe and weld hard.
May the Force be with you.